Welcome to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. This bi-weekly podcast is created to be a safe space to admit what we truly believe in our hearts. And many of us, when we take the time to truly examine ourselves, will find some sort of shame, fear, or lies hiding in there. And it is never God's will for us to stay in bondage to those. It's His truth that sets us free from them. But there's a huge difference between having biblical knowledge floating around in our heads and actually believing that it's true. Until God's truth makes its way into our hearts, nothing changes. We'll be doing a mix of solo episodes and interviews with friends who have experienced the freedom that comes when head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. The truth will set you free so you can walk every day in the freedom God desires for you. It's time to let go of shame, fear, and lies. Those aren't yours to carry. Thanks for joining us. Before we jump into your episode, let me ask you something. Are you feeling tired, burnt out, or just feel like you're running in circles without any clear direction? In a world that's designed to keep us constantly busy, it's really easy to lose sight of the bigger picture. Mary Ellen Hacko is an artist, a writer, a small business owner, and was one of my favorite guests I've ever had on this show, and her second episode is releasing super soon, and she's written a new book that you need to get your hands on, how do I say this, as soon as possible. It's called Soliloquies. That's right, say it with me, Soliloquies. This book is an invitation to pause and rediscover the sacred rhythms of ordinary life. Her poetry is captivating. Her words are going to soothe your busy soul, bring you clarity on what matters most, give you a deeper understanding of yourself and your Creator, and remind you that even when life is chaotic, your everyday matters very deeply. You can order your copy by visiting maryellenhacko.com.au/soliloquies, and you can use the code HEADTOHEART10 for 10% off your book. So that's a pretty good deal. The link will be in the show notes, so go ahead, get your copy, I'll wait for you. And then I'll introduce you to today's episode and topic. Welcome back to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. I need to tell all the listeners tuning into this episode that today is actually a very monumental day because today we get to talk about what to do with your sex drive as a single. And I've been wanting to make an episode like this for a very long time. And I got the best of the best, dare I say. So, Carly, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, any fun facts you want to include in there.
Okay. My name's Carly Palmer Webb. I am a gender and sexuality researcher and educator. And I'm known on Instagram as the Christian Sex Educator. So this is kind of my full-time gig. And I especially like talking to singles about it because so much of my life was spent, a decade was spent as an adult being with no sex education to really speak of. And so this has been a dream of mine to become the sex educator that I so desperately needed in that stage. So that's what I do for work. I'm married. My husband's name is Dallin, and we have a little 9-month-old named Miles. He keeps us really busy, and we adore him. One fun fact. Well, every time I'm asked to give a fun fact, I'm like, well, it turns out that I'm not an incredibly fun person, but I'll say for this one, I won't do it on this episode, Jenny, because I'm sure it wouldn't contribute to it, but I can make a pretty decent Chewbacca impression. So that's my fun fact. Goodness. That's a skill that I have.
Well, what if I told you that would like greatly benefit the audience? Actually,
I would wonder about myself and your audience if you said
that's
that.
Awesome. Not everyone can. I cannot. I've done my best. I've tried. My husband can. He can. He.
All right.
And it's like really good. And I'm like, how?
It just happens for some of us.
It's just, I don't know. You know, some people just have it.
Yep.
Others just don't. So, Carly, What have you been set free from?
Well, the fun thing about being Christian and believing in Jesus is we're set free from so much. But I think that the thing that came to mind when I read that question in your list, Jenny, was most recently I feel like I've been set free from a lot of guilt. I spent a lot of my life trying really hard to please people, including God. And I think most of that came from a really good place, but I was just overwhelmed with guilt all the time. And I'm really excited to be in a stage of my life where my relationship with God and my relationship with the people that I love most is mostly free from that, from guilt and shame. And there's a lot more joy and freedom and connection in those relationships, which has just been wonderful. So that's what I would say right now.
I love that. I love it when it finally clicks in and it happens at different points in our lives, sometimes multiple times, where it's like, oh yeah, the fear of the Lord is going to outweigh the fear of people. And I can actually live without wondering in the back of my head, should I feel guilty for that? Did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? What do they think of me? I love that. So, in the spirit of being set free from shame and guilt, I know there are a lot of singles out there who are experiencing some form of shame or guilt in different ways and manifest in different ways in each of their lives about their sexuality and not knowing what to do with it in the season of life they're in. Completely understandable because, generally speaking, the church doesn't really target a lot of sex ed towards singles. So the question could be raised, is it even okay for singles to learn more about sex and their own bodies if they're not in any type of committed relationship yet? I would love to know your thoughts on that.
I would say, Jenny, not only is it okay, but it will be incredibly beneficial in regards to preparing for future sexual relationships, but also it can be really helpful in learning to manage desire and arousal in a stage of being single. If you've chosen to wait until marriage to have sex, that's a really big deal. That's a big commitment. And I know that a lot of you who are listening are probably like, yeah, I've made that commitment and I am struggling. Like, this is hard. Education can help us get to the point where managing our sexual desires and aligning our behaviors with our beliefs becomes a lot easier. It doesn't ever become easy, but it becomes easier as we learn how to do it. And sex education is part of that.
I mean, you don't know what you don't know. Do you know what
No.
I'm saying? So, if it's more than okay for them to be learning about that, how much should they be learning? Is there a line of where they should stop learning?
I would say yes, but the only person who can determine where that line is you. So what I would say is the line of where you should stop learning is there a point where this education is making it more difficult for me to wait instead of helping me to wait or helping me to align my behaviors with my beliefs, right? If the learning is primarily intended to just explore fantasies or curiosities, or, it's exciting to learn about sex, that's not bad. But if your only reason for wanting to learn about it is because you're experiencing some arousal and that part's fun, I would say that's not ideal. But if you're really trying to educate yourself about your own body, a potential partner's body, if you're trying to learn how to manage and navigate sexual desire, the boundary is this helping me align my behaviors with my beliefs, or is this making it more difficult for me to align my behaviors with my beliefs?
That's a great barometer because, if we take it in a different direction, someone could say, well, I'm going to read this soft porn romance novel because, you know, I'm technically, this is sex ed. And that's going in a direction where it's like, well, you know, probably not helpful. Then there's a
It
different
wouldn't
side.
be for me, right? Yeah, but I will say if this helps to alleviate some of the fear and guilt that singles have about learning, I had a master's degree in this before I got married. So I studied sex professionally. That sounds weird to say, but I was a full-time researcher and student focused on healthy sexuality before I ever became sexually active. And some people thought that was kind of weird. But for me, it was really empowering. I felt like I was purposefully preparing for my future. I felt like I was very much in control of my sexuality and my sexual choices. And that education played a really big role in that. So when I talk about, you know, this boundary, I mean, you can learn a lot that will be helpful for you. It's not like just dip your toe in and learn just the slightest amount until you start to think, okay, maybe this is too much. You know, I know that I can't tell you what is too much for you, but I will say that for me, there was a lot of education, and that was really, really helpful.
I think that's so smart because when we understand something more, we are less afraid of it.
Yes.
And that goes for so many different things in life,
Yes.
but it makes sense that if there's a lack of knowledge, there is also fear.
Totally. Totally.
I
And
love
I
that.
think that shame exists in that place really well, too. That the lack of understanding of what is normal and what can be expected for someone who's trying to wait. I think a lack of knowledge there. In addition to fear, we get a lot of shame in that space.
I cannot agree more. Preach it. Preach it from the rooftops. Carly, I just wrote down some myths that I've heard that I have possibly believed in the past, things that I just know are so common among Christian singles. And I wrote three of them. I'll say it and then you bust it, okay? Have no mercy on it. Just wipe it away. It's like Ghostbusters, but this is like Mythbusters. Okay. Number one, I cannot be fully fulfilled if I don't have sex in my lifetime.
I may not be as aggressive on all these as you quite want me to be. This one's easy though, because we would never say that sex is going to be what fulfills us in life. Like, sex is not the most meaningful part of my life. It's not the happiest part of my life. It's not the most joyful part of my life. And I was incredibly happy as a single too. So if sex isn't going to be the thing that fulfills us in life, then I think we can also say on the flip side, we absolutely can be fulfilled without sex. And there are a lot of people who are living that, right? Who are just thrilled with their life, who aren't having sex, either because they've chosen celibacy or have chosen singleness in this stage, or because something happened and they lost a partner, or you know, there are many reasons why people aren't having sex, but there are so many of them that are just thrilled with their lives. So can we be happy without it? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Number two, my self-control will get easier once I get married.
This one, I will say, in some regards, this could be true. In that, if you are really, really excited for the connection that exists within a sexual relationship, the pleasure that exists within a sexual relationship, and you are in a stage of singleness or celibacy, getting into a marriage and now having a space where you can express and explore that, you won't have to use all of your like skills to manage desire as often, maybe. I say maybe
Yeah.
as self-control and managing your desire is still needed in marriage. There will still be unwanted sexual desire or fantasy. There will still be sexual desire when your spouse or partner doesn't want to have sex, so you're needing to manage it then. There will still be the avoiding of things like pornography and masturbation if those are things you've chosen to avoid in your marriage. So is self-control necessary? Yes. Is it really fun to also have a place that is safe and aligning with your beliefs to express your sexuality? Yes, it is. It's great. Self-control is obviously still necessary.
I think we think of it as it's this thing that I'll just need for a little bit. I'll just need self-control for my
Yeah,
single
like
years.
hold, just hold
But
on, just hold on.
right, just hold on, you're gonna be okay. But it's
Yeah.
that we use self-control in almost every area of our lives.
Totally.
When your boss like really pisses you off, you use self-control to know that it's probably not the best option for you to just yell at him and give him a piece of your mind or
Right.
whatever. And it is a fruit of the spirit. Why wouldn't we want more of the spirit?
Yeah.
Okay. Sex will go smoothly right away because we're very attracted to each other. She just laughs.
I could provide hundreds of stories that people have shared with me over the years because of my career that would bust this myth quicker than anything that I could say. It's just, unfortunately, for those of us who would really like sex to go smoothly right away, it's just not a reality. But that's okay. Sex is a skill, and skills have to be practiced and learned. So, does being very attracted to each other help? Absolutely. Does it make you more excited about sex? Probably. But sex is a skill. So good sex comes with time and practice and effort and a lot of good communication. But I do believe that even though sex won't go smoothly right away for really anyone, it can be really, really good for any couple that's willing to put in the work and willing to educate themselves.
That makes it so much more pressure-free and more normal when you're like, I just haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah, that's that I hear from couples all the time who are like, okay, we actually got home from our honeymoon and I don't even think that we've actually had sex yet. And I'm like, great, that's fine. You're like 4 days in, you know?
Yeah, yep.
You've got time. It's okay. It's okay to take time to figure
Thank you for busting those myths. You were a great myth
it
buster.
out.
So, Christians can definitely struggle. Well, Christian singles could definitely struggle with feeling like maybe they're missing out because they have this sex drive and it's supposed to be a gift from God, but there are some boundaries if they have chosen that to, keep them from doing anything with it until they're married. So, we just want your honest feedback. Is this actually them missing out? And if they're struggling with feeling like they're missing out, what can they do to overcome that feeling?
Yeah. Something that was helpful for me as a single, which this won't be helpful for everybody, especially if there's some disconnect with God, which I understand that too, because, you know, a relationship with God is a journey and some days are harder than others. But something that was helpful for me is recognizing that what I wanted the very most in life was to feel loved, to offer love, and to experience some sense of belonging. And I longed for that in a marriage for all those years that I was single. But I knew that God knew love better than I did. So if God is teaching that the best way for me to experience that love, including sex, but not only that, was within a marriage, then I thought, okay, well, he probably knows better than I do, and that's what I really want. So that helped me to feel like I wasn't missing out. But I do think that one of the vital parts of getting past this feeling that you're missing out or that you're being cheated out of some really important part of life or something is making the choice to wait for yourself. If any of you are in the place of feeling like you absolutely have to wait and you feel frustrated at God for making you wait, or you feel just kind of stuck in this stage or unhappy in this stage, I would take a good look at what you believe, do some soul searching, and decide whether or not you will choose to wait. Because once we get to the point where it's our choice, then it takes away our frustration with God. It eliminates, in a lot of ways, the feeling that we're missing out on this life that we could be having if it weren't for God, because it's our choice. So the only person keeping us from a different kind of life is us. That can be a hard place to get to, right? And I understand what it's like to kind of explore choosing something that you've been taught your whole life is what God wants for you. Like, can I actually choose something different, right? But I do believe that God wants disciples and followers who are choosing for themselves to follow him. So if you're feeling like you're missing out, I get that feeling. I really do. That's what I would dig into a little bit. Make the choice for yourself so that you and you alone are responsible for your beliefs and how you're choosing to align your behaviors with those beliefs. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I think that in many other areas, the feeling of missing out doesn't come up as much because this is the one area that is talked about in a what not to do sense in church more than what to do. Does that make sense? So if we're always hearing this is what not to do, then we will feel like, well, why not? Or if I cannot do that, then what is the better alternative for right now? So I really appreciate you saying that it does have to be a personal choice. And it is easy to say the what not to do, and there are some very wise boundaries put in place of, yeah, it makes sense not to do that if you have chosen to not have sex during your single years. So what are some practical things singles can actually do when they're feeling aroused? This could be for the short term and the long term.
I think the first thing is just recognizing that what you're experiencing is normal. That when you experience a desire for something sexual, or when your body starts to experience physical arousal, that's not an indication that you've done something wrong, right? That's our body's response to some sort of stimulus. Can it also happen when we've done something wrong? Yes, it can, but we'll know, right? Like, oh, I'm feeling aroused because I Googled this specific thing that I knew would bring up pornography, right? And then I'm feeling aroused. I'm not talking about those kinds of situations. I'm talking about when you haven't done anything wrong. You're maybe with your significant other and you guys are kissing, but in an appropriate way, or you're walking through the store and you see someone really attractive, or you're at the beach and you see someone really attractive, you experience some level of desire or arousal, or a thought comes to your mind about something that you've seen or done in the past, and your body responds to that. Those kinds of things are really, really normal and a sign that your body is functioning as it should. Those are not things that we can or should turn off completely. That's part of the way that God made us. So one of the practical things that I want singles to do when they experience desire, which is more mental, or arousal, which is more physical, is remember that what they're experiencing is good, that God created them as a sexual being. And if he wanted to like keep our sexuality from us until we were in a long-term relationship and then just gift it to us then, he could. He's God. He can do whatever he wanted. But he doesn't. He gives that to us much, much earlier. And so we can say, okay, what I'm experiencing is a good thing. And then I would encourage you to create some space for yourself, just a few moments where you can decide how you want to move forward. So take a couple of deep breaths, just sit quietly with your curiosity for a second. And when I say with your curiosity, that means no shame. No, stop. Carly, you're the worst. You're such a bad person. You shouldn't be thinking that. None of that. I'm talking a deep breath. Why am I feeling this way? What stimulus is leading to this response? What do I want to do about it? And in that space, we're better able to make a choice that will allow us to align our behaviors with our beliefs. We won't always make the right choice, if that exists, right? We won't always align our behaviors with our beliefs. We don't do that in any area of our lives. So expecting perfection is just going to lead to disappointment. But we can make most of our choices, make choices that align with our beliefs, right? Long-term, if you're someone who's struggling with a habit that you want to be set free from or that you want to let go of, or you're someone who just feels like all the time you're dealing with unwanted desire or arousal, I would find some support. One of the things that makes that the hardest is dealing with it in silence or dealing with it on your own. There's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of shame there. There's not a lot of support. So find somebody or a group of people who have or are struggling with something similar and want to make changes too. Talk to people that you trust about what you're experiencing and try to get some support. Doing it with other people is so, so much easier and more effective than doing it on your own. So that's another thing that I would recommend.
I love that. It's true. And this isn't something that we need to go into a corner and figure it out by ourselves, because we're supposed to figure it out by ourselves. I don't know who told us that in the first place, but it's going to get a lot easier once we bring others who are safe people into that.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
The wonderful thing about this episode is that I got so many great listener questions sent in. So the next few questions are sent in by people who are just so curious about what you think of these topics, Carly. So here we go. Are you ready?
I think so.
The first one is, how did you two, meaning you and I, Carly, how did you two steward your sex drives well while you were single? Why don't you go first?
One thing I'm really proud of is that I took responsibility for my own sex education and learned what I felt like I needed to learn to manage my desire well. I'm a high desire person. I'm sure a lot of you listening can relate to that. And so waiting was hard for me. I didn't know of other women who were high desire or who really thought about sex that much because nobody talked about it. And I didn't have anywhere to go to learn. I didn't know where to go to learn. And so I just kind of started digging. Finding resources for Christian couples is where I started, because like you had mentioned before, Jenny, there wasn't a lot at the time for Christian singles. There's starting to be more. But I really tried to educate myself, eventually leading to a master's degree studying healthy sexuality so that I could manage my desire well. So that was a big part of it for me. I also did a lot of work to let go of shame. I had a lot of shame around my desires. And like when my now husband and I were dating, desire was high and I had a lot of shame around that. So I did a lot of work with God and personally to try and separate shame from my sexuality. It took a lot of time and a lot of journaling and prayer and talking to other people, but that was incredibly helpful as I tried to steward my sexuality while I was single. What about you?
For me, I think that once I started learning the difference between what is normal and natural and God-given and what is actually sin, it became 1,000 times easier. Because at first I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I'm attracted to someone. Oh no, you know, I had a sex dream or something like that, you know?
Totally. Totally.
So once the Lord helped
me. Which you cannot control if anybody out there doesn't know this.
You literally can't control it. So after the Lord started to differentiate those two things, it became like, oh, if I practice gentleness with myself, curiosity, and walk with the Lord through this, I'm going to be okay. And I don't have to constantly fear, am I sinning? Mm-hmm. And I started practicing gratitude for any feelings of attraction or arousal as just evidence, like things are normal. Things are normal and I'm a human. So praise God for that. So I practiced gratitude for any feelings like that. And then it became a lot easier once I was understood that even as a single, I could be fulfilled. That it wasn't, I wasn't going to be fulfilled once I got married, although that is a beautiful part of my life now. My life was still so beautiful as a single. And so once I realized like God isn't gypping me, he's not making me miss out on anything. I'm a normal human being who experiences a God-given gift, then my life was so much more full after that.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautifully said.
The next listener Q&A is, how do I eliminate shame and at the same time honor how God created my libido as a single person?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when I read this question was gratitude, which you already spoke to. Love that for us. But I think gratitude plays a really big role in both eliminating shame and coming to accept and embrace our God-given sexuality. So finding space to be grateful for our bodies in general, but also to be grateful that they can function with desire. A desire to be close to people, a desire to be sexually connected to people, those are good things. So I think gratitude is a really, really big part. I think education is another one. Shame exists a lot easier in a space of I don't know anything than it does in a space of someone or in someone who's really educated. I would just say understanding your body, how it functions, including its sexual function, can help eliminate shame as well.
I love that. And I think a great example of that was recently, in the last couple of years, but I worked at the university I attended. So there was a Christian university. So there was some sort of session or event that there was a section where they talked about sexuality and what God created it to be. And someone went up there and they said, it became so much more easy for me to not have shame involved in my sexuality once I realized that arousal is neutral. So you could see something that you're like, oh my gosh, am I attracted to that if I just like felt aroused at the same time that I watched that? And it's like not overthinking it, it's taking a step back saying, oh yeah, it's neutral. And just because I felt something in said moment does not mean that I am now defined by it or I'm attracted to that or, you know, whatever it may be. It's like taking a step back and getting curious about it. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of education.
I like that. I like that a lot.
A listener said, I hear a lot of people talk about fulfilling that desire with deep intimacy in friendships. What else is there to help with that desire?
I think a big thing is learning to enjoy physical touch. And I'm not just talking about romantic physical touch. I think that learning to enjoy all forms of physical touch that align with our beliefs can be a really healthy way both to get in touch with our body, to be grateful for our body, but also to learn to manage sexual desires that we're not ready to express in this stage. So we're talking all the things like, yes, romantic touch that aligns with your beliefs, go for it. But also things like massages, or if you're, I have to say it, I'm so sorry, but if you're into like the cold plunging sauna thing these days, like,
that's really popular right now.
It's so popular, but it doesn't have to be that. But things that wake up your physical body, that you can enjoy physical sensations. I think that's a really healthy way to manage desire. Cuddling, hugs with people that you love, holding hands with people that you love, kissing your significant other is great fun and can be enjoyed. Right? If that aligns with your beliefs, enjoy that. I think all of those things can help manage that desire. But again, I'm going to keep beating this drum this whole episode. I just won't. I can't stop talking about it. It's too important. But another way to manage desire is to learn. The more you learn about yourself, the more you understand what's happening to your body when you experience desire or experience arousal, the easier it is to manage.
That is a drum that you can play as long as you want.
Thank you.
Okay, last listener question that was sent in said, how do I guard my heart when my married friends talk about their sex lives? How can I be supportive of their experience while knowing it's not mine, even though I desire it?
I would love to talk to this person one-on-one if that was possible and see what they mean by guard my heart. I think there can be a couple of things at play here. Some of us, when we're single, myself included, felt a little bit uncomfortable when people would talk about sex because we weren't sure if we were allowed to learn about it. So I hope that this episode has helped give people some permission to know, no, it's okay for me to learn about this if what I'm learning is helping to align my behaviors with my beliefs. So you don't have to avoid all conversations about sex. There can be really helpful and really healthy conversations with your married friends about sex. One thing that I would say, though, is as married and single people, I think we in some cases need to be better at respecting our spouse enough not to share the details of our sexual relationship with other people. So if you feel like your married friends are sharing things that about their specific relationship that you don't want to know, I would just try to speak up and say, you know, if my spouse was, which I know that this is hypothetical because the person who's asking this is single, but they could say like, if I had a spouse and they were sharing this part of our relationship, I think I would be really hurt and embarrassed. So I would actually rather not learn about the details of your sex life, though I would like to talk to you about, you know, this thing, or I would like to learn more about how you did this as a single or things like that. So the conversations I think are totally okay. I would encourage people in any relationship to just be sensitive to how what you're sharing might feel to your partner. I also think I'm just going to keep going, Jenny. There's also an element in this question of, they said, how can I be supportive of their experience while knowing it's not mine, even though I desire it? So some of these conversations might just be hard because you long for that kind of a relationship. And right now you don't have it. And that can be really, really difficult. It was hard for me. I remember very specific times when I was hanging out with my married friends, and I was in a very Christian community. And so most of my friends got married quite young. So as a 28-year-old in a friend group who was mostly married, it was hard for me to hear people talk about their sexual relationship and feel like, gosh, I might never have that. That was hard. And so I think being able to express that is helpful. Being able to admit to yourself like, oh, actually, I'm experiencing some jealousy or some longing for this. That's okay. It's okay to want that, to desire that. I think that's part of our God-given sexuality, is we have a strong desire for that kind of connection. So be gentle with yourself. And acknowledge that that desire is a good, good thing. And I just want single people to know, yes, of course you can be happy without sex. And you can really, really want to have sex. You can really want to not have to be happy without sex forever, right? Those things can coexist. It doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to stop wanting it.
That's incredible. And I recorded an episode with someone last year called How to Live an Abundant Single Life. And that's what she talked about, because there was a lot of questions coming in about how do I want it, but not want it too much? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And thinking, well, if I'm content, does that mean that I just don't have the desire to get married anymore? Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of talk about coexisting. Like those desires can be present at the same exact time.
Yeah. Two things can be true. You can be happy with your life and want other things.
So beautifully put. So Carly, I know you have made a lot of your own resources that are so helpful for people. So would you recommend some helpful resources by others that you have read that you would greatly recommend, and then also talk to us about what you offer for resources?
Yeah, happy to. I wish that I had more resources that I could recommend for Christian singles. There aren't as many as there should be, but I do think that more and more people are creating them because they recognize the need. A couple of things that come to mind from other people: the book Sexless in the City by Kat Harris.
I have read that. Yeah.
I think it's a really beautiful and honest depiction of what it's like to try and date and have relationships while waiting until marriage. She talks about the challenges. She talks about finding her own conviction. I thought that that was a really helpful resource. Another one that I really like is called The Great Sex Rescue by Sheila Gregor. And it's not aimed at singles, but I think that it's a great resource for singles as well. The authors of the book conducted a really large survey. I think it was 20,000 plus Christian women about sexual beliefs and their sexual relationships in their marriages. And the information that they gathered and the book that they created using that information is really incredible. If you're someone who struggles with a lot of sexual shame and has a difficult time believing that sex can be good and enjoyable and godly, that book is a great resource. So those are the two that come to mind first. For my resources, I love the Sexuality for Singles course that I created. And I know that's totally tooting my own horn, but I'm really proud of it. It was a labor of love and definitely what I needed as a single adult for over a decade trying to figure this out, I would have, oh, what I would have done for this kind of resource. So if you're interested in that, my website is thechristiansexeducator.com. I have a lot of free resources and podcast episodes for singles as well, but the Sexuality for Singles course is my very favorite thing I've created.
That's amazing. I love it. You can toot your own horn as much as you want, because it is so good to hear how you're so proud of something you created.
Thank you. I wish I would have had it, but I didn't. So I want everybody else to have it.
So you became who you once needed. So yes. We thank you for that, Carly. Yes. Everyone listening to this episode thanks you for becoming that person.
You're so sweet.
Because you are that person for many people who you may never meet in person. Yeah. So
I hope so. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yes. Thank you for being the guest today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. This was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Head to Heart Podcast. It's a joy to record them and a joy to have you listen. Since you're a dedicated listener and made it to the very end of the episode, I have two gifts for you. One is that I have a free resource linked in the show notes for you. It's a resource created to help you take the truth you've learned either in this episode or in a previous one and apply it to your life. The second gift I have for you is access to my seasonal playlist. Every season, summer, fall, winter, spring, I create a regular playlist and a worship playlist that will be ongoing throughout the season. And you'll be able to follow it on Spotify if you need some good boogie tunes. Because let's be honest, in another life, I would have been a DJ. So you now have full access to meet all your seasonal music needs in the show notes. As always, I love hearing from you. So follow me on Instagram and send me a DM of how this episode impacted you. The handle is headtoheart_podcast. And if you would be so kind, leave a 5-star rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the website. By doing this, you'll help me get more amazing guests on the show in the future. I'll be releasing new episodes to you every other Friday, so stay tuned and thanks for joining us.